Solus is here. The Dreadwolf, Fenharel, destroyer of Arlathan, creator of the Veil. Solus comes forward and Leander does not look super happy about that. Like, he's immediately, like, his fingers are reaching for his bow over his back. He's taking a couple steps backward. But Solus just, like, talks as if he doesn't even notice the discomfort of anyone around him. This was indeed one of the prisons that I bound the old gods of the Elvenon into. And Leander says, "You bound the gods here? You did that?" He says, "Aye, yes. Among many other things I did back then. It seemed at the time like the only way to truly free the slaves of Arlathan." He turns and he like looks at the Illuvian and he says, "I set the god June into this very prison, but it's empty now, of course. The Tiventas misremembered him as their god of fire, and he came out during the Third Blight and nearly destroyed the world." He turns back to the group of you, and he sort of smiles beatifically, and he says, I apologize. I did not actually come here to talk to you. I came here to talk to my friends."
Cass, like, without even thinking, is like, "He has friends?"
"I don't think they're his friends anymore."
Oh. Takes a couple steps forward, and he says, "Darenthal? Toward you, Sabray." He comes toward you. He says, "Darenthal, are you in there? I need to talk to you." And you, okay, so Sabray, you can feel Justice in the back of your head. He's not happy. He's not happy to see Solus.
Yeah, that's fair.
Elian, you can feel compassion. He is, more than anything, he's very sad. There's a real sense of heartbreak in him. And Cassandra, Faith is just kind of scared. Like,
uh-huh.
You get the sense that Faith is like, she had such a high opinion of Pride as she knew him. And everything she's learned since, you know, accidentally possessing you, the more she's learned, the more she has become afraid of him. Like, realizing everything that he did. And it takes a little while. And eventually, Justice in your head, Sabray, says, "Is it all right? Like, can I come out?"
Ugh. Sure.
Like, technically, he doesn't need to ask permission at this point, remember?
Yeah, but he's being polite.
He's a good boy, so he will. So Justice does indeed swallow your consciousness. And with absolutely no joy in his voice, he says, "Pride." And when you, Cassandra, and you, Elian, see Justice take over, you feel Faith and compassion. They're both, like, they're not super eager.
Mm.
But, you know, at the same time, Justice is their friend. He probably needs backup. So they're like, "All right, can we,
Go ahead if you have to."
Yeah, Cass is just like, "All right."
And finally, when each of your eyes light up with magic, Solus, like, his expression sort of relaxes a little bit. Like, he's genuinely happy to see them. And he says, "Oh, my friends, have you not heard me calling out to you through the Fade?" Justice says, "Oh, we've heard you. We just haven't responded." Solus takes a couple steps closer to you, Sabray. He says, "Darenthal, I need your help. If I've learned anything these long, lonely years, it's that I can't do this alone." Inside you, Cassandra, Faith says, "Do what, Pride? Destroy the world?" And Justice adds, "Again." And Solus says, "Rebuild it. The way it should be. The way it was always meant to be." Justice, you can feel, like, your body kind of shudders. It's like, somewhere between, like, a laugh and, like, this hideous shudder of revulsion. And Justice says, "You arrogant son of a bitch." finally, Compassion speaks up. He takes your body a couple steps forward, Elian. He says, "Pride, you don't get to decide this kind of thing." Solus's eyes snap toward Compassion. He says, "We formed the Helithen because we needed to decide it. We stood up for the slaves when no one else would." Justice says, "There is a big difference between standing up for the downtrodden and destroying an entire civilization." Solus gets a little cold. He says, "It needed to be done, Darenthal." Compassion says, "And how many slaves were killed when you made the Veil, Pride?" Solus doesn't have an answer for that. His expression doesn't even change. Compassion continues, "How many children? How many elves in general? Killing so many in one fell swoop, how is that not genocide?" For someone who claims to love the Elven so dearly, your hands run red with their blood. Solas, like, there's a look of anger that finally breaks across his face, and he says, fine, perhaps I was over hasty, but that's why I want to bring the veil back down. Faith says, and kill her many more this time. Solas takes, like, a steadying breath, like he's trying to control his anger. He says, in times of war, sacrifices, and suddenly justice launches you forward, Sabre. And he says, don't talk to me about sacrifice! And what happens, and like there's a couple, it can't be more than 20 seconds all told, but it feels like it's going in slow motion. Justice summons up magic from your hand, Sabre, and launches it at Solas. Solas counters with a quick spell, and suddenly they're involved in a fight. Like, they are straight up fighting.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. With your body, nice.
Justice is really going at it. And Faith and Compassion are, like, scrambling to, like, intervene. Like, literally pry the two of them apart. Like, Compassion goes and grabs Justice's Sabre's shoulder and tries to drag him away. Faith, like, you know, pushes herself in front of Solas. And Faith says, stop it! Justice, stop it! And finally, Justice, like, gets himself under control. He's flexing his fingers, which you can see Sabre are still burning with white fire. And Justice says, you don't just get to keep destroying the world until you decide it's good enough, Pride. You don't get to keep upping your body count on the possibility that the end result might be better. You did this, Solas. You made this world. You destroyed Arlathon and you killed an immeasurable amount of people. You have to live with it and rebuild with what you have. Solas is straightening his robe. He says, you know I cannot accept that, Danthal Falonma. I am not your friend, Justice says. Not anymore. And that sentence kind of hangs in the air for a while, and Solas actually looks heartbroken. He says, my friend, have you truly strayed so far? Faith turns and kind of, she had, like, inserted herself between Pride and, or between Solas and Justice, and she turns and glares at Pride. She says, Justice didn't stray anywhere! You're the one who's trying to justify a second apocalypse to us! Compassion says, Justice is right. You don't get to destroy the world and call it progress. There is no justification for murdering millions. Solas says, as coolly as he can, the Elven deserve to be free. Justice says, and what about the Elven who refused to help you destroy the world? What about this one, he says, gesturing to Sabre. Does he deserve freedom? Solas continues to be silent. And Justice bares his teeth. He says, I am disgusted that I ever called you friend. Solas stares down at his feet for a while. He says, to think I tried so hard to save you, to find you again, only to be betrayed.
Elian feels like that is kind of ironic coming from this asshole.
Stares an inquisitor. I'm like, oh, really? Betrayal? Really?
Finally, Faith says, Solas, if you're so set on saving this legacy of the Elvenon, don't you see? Tevinter is the legacy of the Elvenon. She says, a society built on magic, built on the backs of slaves. Everything that the Elvenon was, it's Tevinter now. If you want to help redeem what Arlathon was, build something that Arlathon could have been, you should be helping the Lucerne. Solas says, enough. And he turns his back on all of you, and he heads slowly toward the Alluvion again. And he says, continue this mad quest if you must. I'm not going to punish you unnecessarily. The time will come when this whole world falls. He says, I'm only sorry that it had to be this way. And he slips back through the Alluvion. Justice is pissed. Like, he is furious. You can feel your hands shaking, Sabre. And he kind of gives you back control angrily.
I guess I'm just like, I sort of take back control and look around at everybody else, just like, did that just happen?
Faith and Compassion kind of exchange a meaningful look. And then Faith is the first to give you back control, Cassandra.
Okay. And I just like quietly ask, like, are you okay, Faith?
No, Faith isn't okay.
Nope. That's about what the answer she figured.
Yeah, I feel like none of us are okay.
Solas, Pride as she knew him, was like a really good friend, and it's breaking her heart to see him like this. In her book, he's gone crazy. Like, That's the only way she can justify it in her head. Because the idea that he was always like this, like he always believed that genocide was like an acceptable alternative.
Yeah, you find that out about your friend, you're like, oh no.
His name's literally Pride.
The pride cometh before the fall. So yeah, you are all given back control of your bodies, and the room feels a lot quieter. And then in the back, you hear Talion say, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. That guy seems like a dick.
Yeah.
I feel like that's...
it's probably the most accurate assessment we've had in a while.
He says, also, I'm just thinking, you know, if he has access to this alluvium, maybe we should destroy it. Just a thought.
Yep. Agreed.
That's a good thought.
I'm just going to go for it and smash it with my spear, I guess.
You head up to the alluvium, you swing at it with your spear, and the glass shatters pretty easily. You notice that the opalescent sort of shifty magic on it disappears as soon as it shatters apart. And now you have an ugly frame.
Well, what now?
Moving on before worse things happen? Moving on with our next objective, try to find the Legion as quickly as we can.
Mm-hmm. So we can get the fuck out of here.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So Elian is vaguely worried about, like, okay, if this alluvium is here, and he said he trapped them in an alluvium, how many other alluviums are still unaccounted for?
Go ahead and roll historical lore for me, Elian. See if you know the answer to that question.
That's a terrible roll.
With that, all you know is allegedly there are 7 old gods that were made into archdemons. And if you do the simple math, there have been 5 blights, and then there's the one that's active. So there should be one other mirror somewhere that no one's discovered yet.
Yeah, I don't like this. So he trapped them in the alluvium. So, and there's presumably, yeah, we've had 5 blights already. There's another one starting. So there's another alluvium trapped down here somewhere, you think?
So Sabri, I'm not going to make you roll for this because you're Dalish. Although Elian is correct, there are 7 old gods of Tevinter. There are 9 elven gods.
Oh, that's...
Oh, no!
I guess I tell you that.
Let me see if I can actually, just for reference, if I can name them all. Hang on. Elgernon and Mithal, Andruil, Gilanane, June, Silas. God, why are there so many?
Felandine, did you say already?
No, Felandine, that's a good one. And then Dirthaman. And I think the last one is Fenharil. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I got them all! Oh,
yay!
Fuck yeah! I did it. I'm so proud of myself. Elgernon, Mithal, Andruil, Gilanane, June, Silas, Felandine, Dirthaman, and Fenharil. So, yeah, so I guess, like, Fenharil can't be one of them, right? Like,
yeah.
He's the one who's, like, walking around being a dickhead to your boyfriend. But that's still, like, that still leaves at least 2 that are unaccounted for, counting the blights and the one that's going on.
That's so many gods. Honestly, how is someone supposed to keep track of all those gods? I just, like, scoff. Just like, you heathens. There are 9 elven gods.
9. That's great. Great news. Love that.
Leander says, like, one of the elven gods is Fenharil, so presumably he can't be an archdemon. And then he stops and he thinks about it and he says, maybe.
Maybe what?
Don't leave that hanging. I don't like that, Leander.
Maybe what?
He says, I'm just saying the only thing that distinguishes Fenharil from the others is that he is not currently possessing the body of a dragon. Perhaps he is still corrupted by the blight. He could be an archdemon in theory, if not in practice.
Oh.
Forget I said anything. It doesn't seem like a productive thing to think about.
You could basically hear the gears in Elian's head turning like, oh no.
And Leander heads up to the large gem and he sort of hesitantly picks it up. It's huge. Like, it's the size of a soccer ball. And he spends like a minute like moving things around in his bag so he can stuff it inside. Like this ancient, priceless, magical artifact. And he's like, get the fuck in there!
Onward then.
As you are all heading back up this, again, it's a very long set of stairs. Your calves are going to be burning by the end of this. as you're all heading up the stairs, Telgen says, now that he sees your spirit friends as betraying him. Do you think that'll put a big target on the Lucernes' back?
I don't really want to think about it, Talgan.
Problems don't go away just because you ignore him, my friend.
Oh, I'm more than aware of that.
Yeah, he's right.
That's why you beat your problems.
Talgan says there are certain problems that can be fixed by stabbing them. Darkspawn, for instance.
Yeah.
Darkspawn are a problem that can be fixed by stabbing them, but some things require finesse. I don't know how to explain this to you.
In all seriousness, I think you're probably right. But I have no idea what to do about it, other than maybe have Sabre warn Lannan and the others.
And yeah, it does take you like 20 minutes to get up this flight of stairs, because it took you about 20 minutes to get down, and wow, your legs hurt.
Yeah. Elian is so tired.
As soon as you get to the top, you all kind of take a breather after 20 minutes of going upstairs. Leander says, I think we have been a little bit lax. It's clear that we need more intel on the Helithen and where Solas is right now.
And where can we find this intel?
Like, any suggestions?
Didn't the Inquisitor take that prisoner before we left Skyhold? That agent of Solas who was in Briala's inner circle? Perhaps he can learn something from him.
Val. Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah, that was a long time ago, but yeah.
He says, we have quite a lot to do. It's like, and here we are stuck in the deep roots.
Yeah.
Tom is going to go ahead and call it. He like makes a gesture, says, all right, everyone, let's set up camp for the night. Talgan, if you can seal that door, we did break the Illuvian, but you know, just in case. So you all set up camp for the night.
Yay.
Everyone is, you know, unrolling bedrolls, setting up long, they've got little tents they can pop up with magic mostly. It's probably one of the mages. Cassandra, you are in charge of starting the fire.
Okay.
And you start the fire, and you and Elian and Sabre are sitting around it, just next to each other, quietly. And then the quiet just keeps going. Like, the thing that just happened to you is just hanging over the conversation. Like,
I mean, Elian's normally the first one to break its silence, but I think he's just kind of overwhelmed by everything right now.
I feel like Cass looks sideways at Elian and then, like, turns to look at Sabre, like, so, how's everyone?
Still recovering from that shriek. Not great.
Right. You were poisoned. That doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, it's not
understatement.
A great day. I would consider this, like, one of the less good days that I've had.
Yes, yeah, it's right up there. We don't have any way of knowing where the Legion is, really. I mean, like, we know vaguely where they might be. We've got an army heading towards our friends. Everything's fine. We'll be fine.
It will be. It has to be.
Leander sits down next to you. Cassandra says, does it?
I feel like I sort of just give up, like, all right, well, enjoy the fire and just go find May.
But yeah, you head over to May. May has just set up her little tent, and you approach her just as she has sat down, and she, like, either she had been hiding it really well, or it's just starting to settle in. She is not looking good. Has she always been that skinny? Like, her face looks a little bit more cadaverous than it did even a couple hours ago.
No.
She's sort of sitting on her knees, leaning her head against the side of the tent, sort of half-dozing.
Kadan.
She sort of startles and looks up. Oh, yes. Somebody in healing?
No. You can relax. We're all relaxing now.
Oh, all right. All right. And she settles back down and she rests her head against the side of the tent again.
I feel like it just absolutely reach out to her face, like, and in my head, like, shit!
When you reach out and touch her, she opens her eyes again. She says, is everything okay?
I would ask the same of you, but I know it's not.
She says, oh, I'll be okay. At least I should be useful for the rest of the trip. If I get bad enough that I don't think I'll be able to continue on, I'll let you know.
May, it already looks worse than before.
She says, well, I do have the blight, and I am going into the Deep Roads. It would be a difficult excursion under the best of circumstances. I'll do my best. You need a healer. And if it gets to the point where I don't think I can move, I will warn you. But for now, I should be okay. And she settles back down again, closing her eyes.
Very, very panic is what Cass's mood is right now. Like, ah!
I mean, in fairness, like, she's right. She's got the blight, and you wanted to take her into the Deep Roads. That's a...
True.
That is a consequence.
It is a consequence. We did need a healer, and this is what happens.
She says, it would, at the very least, be a good death, I think. Down here, defending my friends, when they need the help the most.
You talk as though you're already dead.
It won't be very long now. I can feel it advancing.
How long do you think?
She is silent for a little while. You can see her fingertips twitching with very subtle magic. You think probably some of her usual diagnostic spells. Eventually she says, maybe 3 weeks if I'm lucky.
Oh.
But like I said, if I feel it advancing too quickly, I'll let you know. And she says, I hope you know that if that does come to pass, you probably won't have the time or the resources to give me any sort of rites. Just burn my body so I don't become a darkspawn and carry on. She's trying to sound very cavalier about the whole thing. She's trying to keep her own emotions in check.
I feel like Cass is silent for a while and then just nods and I will always, forever carry you with me, Kadan.
She says, that's the thing about love, isn't it? Even in death, you're never truly separated. Because when you love someone, you take a little bit of them into yourself.
That is a very poetic way of putting it, yes?
She says, I think for as long as I stay alive, I'll keep that vim, that desperation for freedom. That's a good part of you that I'd like to carry with me, that I learned from you. I'll hold on to that. Her voice is getting quieter, like she's falling asleep.
That's a good part of me to take into yourself, May. I wish that you could use that now to fight for yourself.
She says, I have been, dear. For many months, I have been. There comes a point where I'm just going to... where the choice is going to be made for me.
You know that I'm not going to accept that, right?
She says, you're not going to accept death?
Yes, true. Death is something we must all face, but we haven't used all of our resources, at least not yet.
She says, oh, Maliva, we already tried it, remember? We tried the ceremony and it didn't work.
It's true, we have not had the best of luck with ceremonies.
You're trying so hard, but it just feels like you're trying to fight off sunrise with a sword. Says there are some things that just can't be helped, and I hope that... And she yawns, and she, like, settles down, kind of curled up onto her cot, and she says, and I hope before the end. And then she just falls asleep. Elian, so you are attempting to go to sleep. How are you succeeding?
Probably not great. I think he probably did his usual spiel of writing for a few minutes before bed just because habit and trying to get some sense of normalcy, but kind of tossing, turning. No sleep has been good down here. Let's just put it that way.
After about 20-ish minutes of this, you hear footsteps approach you. Leander sits down near where your head, your pillow is. He is taking first watch, and he says, lift your head.
Okay.
You lift your head, and he scoots underneath so your head lies down on his lap.
Thank you.
He doesn't say anything. He just sort of strokes his fingers through your hair for a while, and he says, if I could, I would sing you the song that I remember from my childhood. As a tranquil, I've lost most of my ability to appreciate or even create music. That's why I hated it when you insisted on playing that song for me on your dulcimer.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have.
It's not your fault. You didn't understand.
Do you know the words?
I do. He says, but it feels cheap to just recite it to you like it's poetry. It's not poetry. It's a song.
That's understandable.
The other slaves that worked the orange groves used to sing it as they worked. It was surprisingly lively. I don't remember why I liked it anymore. He says, I'm not doing a very good job of trying to get you to go to sleep. I apologize.
It's okay. I'm grateful for a chance to know more about you.
He says, it's true that you don't know very much about me at all. That's part of why I was so mystified when you first said that you loved me. You only know a fraction of who I am. The rest of me has been suppressed.
That's true. But I do love what I've seen. I love that you have your own sense of humor.
Such that it is.
And you do care for your friends. You stick your neck out for them, at least.
He says, you should try to sleep.
Thank you for earlier.
He doesn't say anything. He really does want you to sleep.
Elian just sighs and settles as best he can.
Sabray. So, strictly speaking, nothing super notable happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you saw Solas, but he didn't tell you anything you didn't already know. He just sort of terrorized you and confirmed that justice and compassion and faith are definitely not on his side, despite the fact that they used to be his friends. So, like, nothing, strictly speaking, happened. That said...
I feel like that's a generous interpretation of that story.
Like, you didn't get involved in a fight. All you did was find an alluvian. You learned some interesting history facts. That's what it boils down to. You learned some interesting history facts.
Call Lavellin and just be like, I had a really good history lesson today.
So listen, I learned, that's like, all that happened. I learned a little bit about the Third Blight. You want to hear it?
Buried a lead entirely. I think that, like, it's a run-in with his ex-boyfriend. He feels like he should... discuss it. You know what I mean? At the very minimum.
Hey man, I ran into your ex. He looks like shit, by the way. I'm hot.
The best possible use.
Lennon is definitely petty enough to be like, oh, did he look like shit? Tell me he looked like shit. So you do want to use the glyph of calling?
Yeah, I think I use the glyph.
You fall asleep next to the glyph of calling. Your dream is at the bottom of that tower, of course. You're sitting cross-legged in front of the alluvian watching it ripple, and you feel like the hackles on the back of your neck, like, rising, because you know, any second Solas is going to step through, but he hasn't yet. And eventually you hear a voice from behind you say, oh, twice in 2 weeks, I'm starting to think you like me or something.
I have, like, a sudden flashback to the fact that last time he said that he loved me, and I just...
Yeah, last time you spoke with him, he called you Vanon, which is a big deal in elven culture.
I think I just sort of, like, stare at him. Like, my brain is just collapsed. It is gone. Like, I had something to say, but now I'm distracted because I remember that I do, in fact, like him.
Lennon looks around. He's like, where are we?
The deep roads.
No, yeah, I know you're in the deep roads. Like, what specifically is this place?
Well, it looks like it's Talgon's old castle or something. You know, the place we were supposed to go.
The Dunmoral Tig?
That, yeah.
He takes a look around and he's like, I didn't expect it to look like this.
What do you expect?
Well, I mean, Tigs are like cities. Like Orzammar, except, you know, abandoned and usually overrun with darkspawn.
Really? I just thought it was going to be like a nice house.
Well, you are a little bit of an idiot.
Country estates, that's a rude thing to say.
He says, no.
For someone who called me Vanon the other night.
He immediately, like, he's about to, like, continue his sentence, and then he's like, did I? Oh, that's awkward. I'm sorry.
I like, look at him like, wait, what? I'm sure it was just an accident. That's what I said. I said it was probably an accident, and it wasn't a big deal, so it's fine. Yeah, mm-hmm.
So bad at this.
He says, No.
It's I get it. It was, you made a mistake, and you, no, it's not.
Things are easier for mages in the Fade. Words that you don't necessarily intend to say at that particular time just sort of happen. He says, you don't have to, it's fine.
I don't have to.
It's fine, he says very loudly, like, it's fine, don't think about it.
I'm just like sort of staring at well, I just, you know, I hadn't really thought.
Yeah, like.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, wait, what?
I didn't realize that you said it, but after I realized, I was really happy. It means a lot to me. I think you mean a lot to me. Oh, God. There's, your ex showed up. Your ex showed up. So, yeah, that happened. Yeah.
Like, he goes from, like, 0 to 100. He's like, what, Solas was here? Solas isn't my ex.
Are you sure?
No, I'm extremely sure. He turned me down very explicitly, like, 3 times.
Oh, okay. Yes. I'm pretty sure. Is he bald? Yeah, I saw him. He came to the house. I know what he looks like.
He was here, and he turns back to look at the Illuvian, and almost, like, unconsciously, Sabray, your mind summons up the image of what you saw. You know, Solas with that wolf skin covering over his shoulder, with his hands behind his back, yelling at a projection of you, and then getting into a fight with the projection of you. Lannan is sort of staring at it. It's like, you fucking fought him?
Okay, well, in all fairness...
He's an ancient elven god, you idiot! Why did you fight him?
Okay, I did also scream at a dragon who we have been an archdemon, so really, oh in the god. Scheme of things, this is pretty low. just to make sure that it's within context here. But also, I didn't fight him. Justice did. So that's not really my fault.
Lannan, like, the conversation plays out as best your unconscious mind recalls it. And, like, it doesn't get it word for word, but, like, the major beats are hit. And Lannan just sort of watches it in silence, and he says, well, I mean, I guess it's at least good that justice and compassion and faith aren't on his side anymore. Definitely not on his side.
Yeah, they seem like they're very strongly anti all of this.
Not hard to imagine why.
We just don't know what to do next. I don't know what to do next. I was pretty stunned when he showed up.
I've been interrogating the member of Briala's inner circle, the one that Solas planted there. I've been getting some good intel from him. I think his operations are based out of Arleth Len. I think that's where his headquarters are.
What are we supposed to do about that?
He says, I don't know. And the idea of marching against the Dalish leaves a really sour taste in my mouth.
I just sort of like step back and look queasy. Yeah, I don't know if I can do that.
Everything that I've learned indicates that's where he is. That's where his base of operations is. The majority of the people that have supported, that have rallied around him, the Helithen, the majority of them are Dalish.
He was talking about remaking destroying the world, essentially.
Tearing down the veil. And remaking it in his image, and I think that's where he wants the new Arlathon to be.
How could they possibly support?
I don't know.
I just look kind of sick.
It's possible they don't know the whole story, but it's also possible that they do, which is worse. He says, we both need to be psychologically ready for the idea that we might have to march against the Dalish.
I don't even know, Lannan. I just like sort of step away. I will think about it. Do you have any news of the army that marches toward Tevinter?
Yeah, I've made a rallying point on the border of Navara. I guess I'm the commander of the army. There's no one else. Cullen seems busy, so otherwise I'd ask him to do it. But we're rallying at the border of Navara, and we should be ready for wherever it is they pop out of the ground.
Well, that's something at least.
He says, I'll try to find you in the Fade after the battle, and I'll let you know how it goes. And if it's not me, I'll make sure someone does. Like, you know, he's trying to say it delicately, but he's also saying, like, this. A non-zero chance I might die in this battle, but either way, I'll have someone find you.
You made me promise to come back out alive, and now I'm going to tell the same thing to you.
He says, I'll do my best.
Well, that's not very inspiring, but okay.
He says, honestly, with the luck I've been having, I should have died in the Conclave years ago. So, if that didn't kill me, I'll probably be okay.
Inquisitor is like a cockroach, can't squish him.
No matter how hard you try, you just can't kill him.
just sort of like staring at him like, this is very not reassuring, but I suppose it'll have to do. I give him a step close and give him a huge hug, and I say, I need to probably get back, but it was good talking to you, Banan. It gives me some peace for what I have to do next.
He says, I heard that, and then the dream ends. So you pack up camp in the morning. No random darkspawn attacks or anything of that sort. How after a night of sleep, how is everyone feeling?
Some of us had better dreams than others.
It really baffles my mind to think that right now Sabray is the one in the stable, normal relationship comparatively.
Right?
Amazing. How did that happen?
Well, in my defense, May is dying.
Yeah, May is dying and Leander's tranquil. So, like, it's really just, yeah. Like, he's the only one with, like, a functioning emotional capacity.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. And you may note that he's still doing a bad job, so, you know. Sheer luck that it's going as well as it is, because he's doing really badly.
It's like, I love you. Wow, that's a bad idea.
Also, I feel like, in my head, like, Lannan, like, he fell of a solace for his mind. And like, he definitely did not fall in love with Sabray for his mind. I feel like,
oh no,
it's like a refreshing change of pace. Like, now he's like, oh, I'm into the himbo thing. Hell yeah, that's completely different from my thing with Solas.
Yeah, sometimes, man, sometimes you just want a really good lay who's like a nice person.
Yeah, I feel like Cass had a bad night, so she just like wakes up and is like, what? Oh. Again, yep, here we go.
Yep, and Maevarus is still asleep. She's sleeping a lot, which is it's not great when you're trying to make time in the Deep Roads.
Yep.
She needs her sleep, but she also needs to get the fuck out of the Deep Roads. Because the faster you guys are out of the Deep Roads, the sooner you can take another crack at that thing that she does not want to do, that she has not agreed to do. It's fine. What's the worst that could happen? Leander spent all night being your pillow, Elian, and now his legs are asleep.
I feel like Elian feels bad about that, but also, like, that wasn't decent night's sleep, which is unusual in the Deep Roads.
What about you, Sabray? How do you feel waking up after basically just telling Lennon that you love him?
Normally I feel really bad about these things, but today, not so bad. I don't know, it's a weird feeling. I think I just wake up very confused.
So you all pack up your tents, and you head out. Maevarus does not look great. She is sort of lagging behind, kind of taking up the rear, which is, a mage probably shouldn't be in the rear. But also she's quite sick. So the Dunmoral Tige is large, but it ends quite abruptly. Like, you get to the end of the street, and then suddenly you're at the edge of a cliff, and like, there's where it stops. There's the end of the Dunmoral Tige. The cliff overlooks what looks like it's very interesting. You can't see the bottom of this pit, but all of the stalagmites and the stalactites are run through with veins of blue lyrium, and it gives it a very cool ethereal glow. But of course, there's no way, like, what are you going to do? Jump 5,000 feet? Absolutely not. You end up kind of just taking a right turn and following, like, hugging the wall of this massive chasm, a single file, until you find a large, natural-looking cave and go deeper into the Deep Roads. You are still seeing some signs of, ancient dwarven architecture. You still see, like, lampposts along the edge of the road, so you think this is still some sort of tig somewhere. It is another couple of days of walking, of not a whole lot going on. Tom still manages to steer you around large warrens of darkspawn. But as you are coming up around a large natural bridge over an underground lake, Tom holds up one hand to stop all of you very abruptly.
I come to a halt and ready my spear.
Yeah, Elian's hands go to the hilt of his sword and dagger.
Tom spends a minute reaching out with his senses. He says, we're not alone, but I don't... He says, it feels different. He says, I apologize, I've only been a Grey Warden for a couple of years. The My senses aren't as sharp as those of some senior wardens, but I could swear that... He suddenly takes off in a sprint.
Oh, okay. I think we should follow him.
Yeah.
Yep, he goes sprinting off into the caves with this torch held high. He makes a few very deliberate turns through this natural cave system, and as you follow him, you hear the sounds of fighting. It gets louder and louder the more you follow, Tom, and then suddenly you come around the corner and you see quite an interesting sight. You see a handful of dwarves, about six of them, an even split between men and women. One of them is lying in the center of the semicircle formed by the others, and they look very badly wounded. And the others are fighting off deep stalkers. So they are surrounded by this massive horde. There's got to be 20, maybe 30 deep stalkers. And these deep stalkers they're sort of bipedal creatures, long, scaly tails, horrible, I'm going to go ahead and say it, horrible mouths, awful, terrible mouths, and beady little eyes. Any one of these you could probably kill with a single blow. But you get the suspicion that deep stalkers are strong in numbers. Leading up the group of these dwarves is this guy.
I like his face tattoos. I feel he's a kindred spirit.
They are very different from Valisleen, but they are still face tattoos, so they got some same energy. And he is barking out orders. There are these about five dwarves, one of them badly injured, about 20 to 30 deep stalkers. You guys are coming up on the flank. What do you want to do?
Help?
Yeah, activate combat magic. I was like, let's get in it.
All right, let's all roll initiative, shall we?
Hey friends, Tessa here. If you're desperate to hear the next episode, chances are good that you can by joining our Discord server. We post links to all episodes in pre-release, and you can even chat with us and listen live as we record. Join us by going to bit.ly/CFCDiscord. For more information on the show, character biographies, and links to social media, head to our website, critfail.club or critfailclub.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. Critfail Club does not advertise at all, so if you like what you hear, tell a friend who might also like it, make a post on social media about it, or leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Full episodes are available on our YouTube channel, bit.ly/CFCchannel, or wherever you get your podcasts.